Well, I wanted to pick up and review just for a few moments and share along these lines of the power of our affirmations. And that's a word that we don't normally use, maybe in our English language, maybe in certain businesses they do, but in just everyday language, we don't necessarily use that word. But to affirm means to validate or to confirm. It means to state positively. It means to assert something. It means to show or express a strong belief in or dedication to something. So if you affirm something, it's something that you speak or decree based on something that you believe. Something that would be a synonym to this word would be to profess, or to insist, or to claim, or to assert. If you assert, it implies stating confidently without the need for proof or regard for evidence. So a synonym for the word affirm is to assert. So if I assert something, I'm just reading you what's in the dictionary, the Merriam-Webster dictionary. To assert something implies stating confidently, that's faith right there, without the need for proof or regard for evidence. What do they mean by that? Some evidence in the natural. You have all had, you get on a plane and you assert that I'm going to this particular destination. You don't have proof other than that ticket you hold, that I'm going to this destination. And you tell people without any proof or evidence other than you just got the word from the airline that I'm getting on this plane and we're going to this destination. And you assert that. That takes faith in the natural. But you have what? You have confidence in them. Maybe you've done it before. And you've done it a number of times. You get a raise on your job, and you go around claiming, asserting, affirming that I got a raise, and without the money in your hand yet, maybe, you're already planning on how you're going to spend that. So asserting, all you have when you affirm something is the word of someone else. And we have the word of God that tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for or expected. It's the evidence. What's the evidence? Our faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof, or the Amplified says, the title deed of something claimed or asserted. So when we walk in faith and we live by faith, we're going to have to decree something or affirm something based just on God's word and the release of our words, you know, that which we meditate on. We'll look at Joshua 1:8, but it says, let not these words of the law depart. Where? Out of your mouth. Let them not depart out of your mouth, but you're to do what? Meditate on them day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you'll do what? Make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Well, we all want that. We all want to be prosperous and have good success, but there's a condition there that we need to do what? Meditate on it. But it says, let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth. So you're going to have to say or affirm or assert what you believe confidently. And that confidence, or that what we read here in the dictionary implies stating confidently without need for proof or regard for evidence, that confidence comes from meditating in the Word of God day and night. For it is the power of God, the entrance of His Word, Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of His Word giveth light. Romans 10 and verse 17. We can take a quick look at that. Romans 10, 17, it says what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, that word, that Greek word for word is rhema. So really it's saying, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, the revealed Word of God. So we have, you know, we say hearing. People say, well, what does that mean? Well, you have natural ears that you hear things, and then you have inner ears that hear, you hear, and even the Word of God. The Word of God's very clear. In Proverbs 20, 27, it says, the Lord, the spirit of man, is what? The candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So our spirit man is connected. The Holy Ghost has come in to live within my spirit. It's been changed. It's the candle of the Lord. John 10, 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice. Well, we're not, you know, I mean, and he says, and I know them and they follow me. Well, he's not talking about your natural ears hearing his voice. He speaks to us and communicates with us, where? In our spirit. And this is the New Living Translation, Romans 8, 16. It says, for his spirit joins with our spirit to do what? To affirm that we are God's children. So his spirit is now joined with my spirit, and he affirms, or the scripture says, bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And the New Living Translation, this is 1 Corinthians 6:17, says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. So we hear him. He leads us. We know him. And we do what? We follow him. And so we are one with him. And so this area where we want to affirm something is, in one way to say it, is to make firm. So an affirmation is a statement of truth that you make by repetition. So you continually affirm something. And it does what? It builds faith. So when we say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, when I affirm His Word, and I affirm what God says, then confidence comes, faith comes, where? Into my spirit, and it builds confidence. And so the more I affirm that, the more I repeat it, the more repetition, the more faith comes. And so faith then must be what? It must be spoken. This was something I shared this Sunday. There's a writer, he's in heaven now, his name was E.W. Kenyon, Edward Kenyon, and wonderful writings. You can still get his books. But he made some statements. He said, our continual affirmation or confession has infinite value. Our spiritual life depends upon our constantly affirming what God has declared, what God is in Christ, and what we are before the Father in Christ. And he made this statement. He said, the thing that made Methodism, now he's talking about the Methodists, he said, the thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. When they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing, and believing or acting upon the word became more difficult. So it's just, I guess I would say, for us, these examples, these things written are for our benefit, for our edification, so that we don't cool or diminish in our confession. You know, a lot of times, and I've seen this, maybe you've experienced it, that when there's opposition, when there's pressure, sometimes we begin to get so distracted with that we begin to lessen our confession. We begin to talk about the problem instead of confessing what God has said, because it's the release of his word that builds faith. And the confession of his word, the affirmation of his word, faith comes by hearing. And the assurance, the confidence, comes through faith. And we're talking about confidence, meaning the God kind of faith, the God kind of confidence. That's what we're talking about. That comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And that's going to come by you hearing yourself. So the less you say, the less you confess, the less you affirm, then it's exactly what he's, shared, E.W. Kenyon, that when this group of Methodists began to stop affirming, faith stopped growing, and believing or acting upon the word became more difficult. There wasn't the confidence there. There wasn't the assurance there. And so we need to, as much as lies within us, confess the word, decree the word. It needs to be a daily affirmation. I was sharing today at noonday prayer on the stream that one of the things that this writer, the authority of the believer, shared that this needs to be a daily affirmation, that we need to decree, because the opposition that we face in this earth and face in life isn't coming from God. John 10:10 says that the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That sounds like opposition. But I am come, he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So God is in the business of life, and the devil's in the business of death and destruction. And so when we run into these roadblocks in life, that we need to not lessen our affirmation and our words. We need to increase them, because it's through the decreeing of our words that we're going to have victory. And I was sharing that today, again, as I said at noonday prayer, that we need to decree some things and decree that we are seated. We were raised with Christ, Ephesians 2. And it says we were raised with Christ, and we were seated and are seated with him in heavenly places. What does that mean? I'm seated far above principalities and powers and darkness and the rulers of darkness. And Jesus, before he ascended, he commanded us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons. And so he's given us his authority in his name to do what? To take back the things that the devil has taken and to enforce the word of God and to decree the name of Jesus. And so for us, words matter. Is what I'm really trying to get at, that our words matter, and those words need to be the word of God. Now let's just quick look I was sharing this scripture on Sunday, Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. And this is the King James. It says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." And then there's another translation I shared called the Laubach translation. And it said, "And this is true, and I want you to teach it over and over again." Repetition. "Tell those who believe in God that they must take care to do useful work. This is what helps and blesses people." And this is in the New Living Translation, Hebrews 10:23. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." So God is saying in his word, we need to hold tightly without wavering to the what? The hope we affirm. And let me just read this in Hebrews 11:1 in the Passion Translation. I like this translation here. Hebrews 11:1 and then verse 3. It says, "Now faith brings," see, a lot of times people say, well, how do I get what God has promised into my life, into this natural realm? Because what God has provided, it already exists. It's in his realm, the spiritual realm. And so it says, "Now faith brings our hopes," or you could say our expectations, "into reality and becomes the foundation." What's the foundation? Our faith becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. It's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. So that which is unseen, all I need is faith to prove that I have it. I believe, 2 Corinthians 4:13, I believe and therefore I speak. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So when we know what God has promised, then I can have faith for that. But once I have faith, faith must be released. It must be the promises of God must be acted upon. So faith comes, but then faith has to be released. How is faith released or activated? Faith is activated by speaking. And so verse 3, let's look at Hebrews 11. This is a passion. And verse 3, it says, "Faith empowers us." Oh, boy. "Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of" what? "God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen." So those things that are unseen are going to have to be spoken, and that's what this says. Faith causes that which is unseen to come into existence, into reality. Faith creates realities. And so we're going to have to do that. Faith-filled words create realities, create things that are seen. Well, we see that now. You have you see people just in the natural that are happy and joyful and full of joy and positivity. It creates an atmosphere of that. And you have people that have meditated on something negative, like fear or worry or anger, and when acted upon, it's manifested in this realm. So those things, faith, you know, you'd say, well, I can't see faith. Jesus, when the man who was, incapacitated, and he was in the house teaching, and nobody could get in because it was, you know, they he said his four friends brought him on a stretcher. They tried to get into the house. They couldn't. But what happened? It says they brought him up on the roof, and they opened the roof up, and they let him down into the place where Jesus was. And Jesus said in the scriptures, he saw their faith. Well, you can't see faith, but you can see the results of faith. You can't see worry, but you can see somebody acting upon worry by their actions. And so, yes, you can't see faith, but you can see the result of faith being acted upon. And that's all we're saying here. 2 Corinthians 4, let's look at that briefly, 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now here's another translation, the New Century Version of 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, it is written in the scriptures, I believed, so I spoke. That's pretty plain, isn't it? I believed, so I spoke. Our faith is like this too. We believe, and so we speak. So just saying I believe something without saying what you believe is dead faith. It's not being acted upon. You're not. This is why I was sharing Sunday, and I shared it Sunday, not to step on anybody's toes, because probably all of us have said it maybe once in our Christian life. But how many have heard somebody say, well, I'm just walking through this. I'm going through this. Well, you may be, but one of the things that I shared today at prayer, it's not so much, well, it is, it's saying, what do you mean by that? When you say, I'm going through. Well, when did you get the victory? Because the victory is ours in Christ Jesus now. And so one of the things that I was sharing is sometimes if somebody says, I'm going through, but I've got it now. There's a big difference in how it's being said. And let's say a person says, well, you know, brother, I'm just going through. Well, that may convey a little differently than I'm going through. It's the excitement of in your words, in your voice, it conveys what's in your heart. So what's in your heart is conveyed by your words. And the words that you speak, even with that excitement, Brother Hagin used to say this for years. He said, when you get excited about the word, it begins to work for you. Why? Because that excitement conveys confidence. And so you can say, oh, yes, brother, I'm confident. Yeah? I'm not questioning that. I may question that. I'm saying, how did you say it? You just getting through, or are you on top? Do you have the victory? Something, you know, we hold every year, and there will be coming up shortly, the Life in the Spirit Conference that we hold for 3-4 days. And we usually have some wonderful speakers that came out of Rhema in Tulsa, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And one of the speakers, Reverend Leanne Sozeby, now Pastor Leanne Sozeby, she was over the Prayer and Healing School for a number of years. And she made this statement, and I tell you, it's so wonderful to hear people share things that they've learned by the Holy Ghost to give us insight. They had a number of prayer teams, and she was over those prayer teams. And she said, well, we're this is what she said one day, we're praying to break through something. And she said, the Holy Spirit said to her, why are you trying to break through? Why don't you pray like you're on the other side? Like you already have the victory. And she said that was revelation for her. And she said, huh, well, we do have the victory in Christ. Let me just put that up here quickly. Excuse me as I pull that scripture up here. In 1 Corinthians, 15 and 57, as talking about preceding that, it says, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But verse 57, but thanks be to who? To God, which will eventually giveth. He giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We already have the victory. All the things. I mean, if we didn't, how can we go then in his authority? We already have the victory. We have the victory. We've been delivered. Colossians, we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We already have the victory over sin and sickness and the devil in Christ. And so what Leanne was sharing, Pastor Leanne was sharing, pray from that place. Pray from a place of victory in Christ. And you walk in that. That's good. That has a different tone in your voice, doesn't it? I have the victory. I'm on top. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. So words matter when it comes to what we speak and how we speak. Faith, you could say, is voice activated. It has to be spoken. And let me read this. This is the New Living Translation, and it's Matthew 12 and verse 34 and 35, 36 and 37 in the New Living Translation. This is Matthew 12 in the New Living, and I like this. I just saw this before I came in. And this is Jesus speaking in the New Living. It says, you brood of snakes. That's pretty strong. How could evil men like you, he's talking to the Pharisees, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? This is what I saw. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Huh? And it goes on, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, that you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. But I like that when it says in verse 34, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. So you keep meditating on, this is why in Joshua 1:8, when it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should do what? Meditate on it, or the word, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then they'll have good success. Well, that's just really what this is saying here. When Jesus was chastising those Pharisees, he said, what you have in your heart is coming out of your mouth. And he was saying, out of a good heart come good things. Well, that's why we need to keep feeding, keep meditating, keep speaking, keep muttering the word of God. What does that mean? Keep affirming who I am in Christ, what I have. And it will do what? Our words are creative. Death, Proverbs 18:20, death and life is what? In the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you are going to eat or realize what you keep feeding on and speaking. And in Proverbs 4, verse 23, this is why words matter. Proverbs 4, 23, in the King James, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of what? Out of your heart come the issues of life. And when you look that word up, issues, it means borders, it means extremities or the boundaries. So we, with our words, create the boundaries of our life. When we say, I can't do that, well, then you never will. You're setting a boundary. And that's why when we were speaking Sunday, we said in Job 22:28, it says, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. So we need to watch the words that we say. When you decree something in faith, it shall be established. And as you said, as it says in his word in Proverbs 18:20, we will eat the fruit thereof. And this scripture says here, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it you establish the boundaries of your life. And a lot of times people are blaming God. God doesn't want me to have that. Well, sometimes we need to stop and look and see, are my words getting in the way? Are things that I say, is that creating a boundary? Because God spoke through Jesus and he said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, if we're not living that abundant life, then maybe we need to look at the words that we're speaking. I like this. This is the New Living Translation of Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. This is the New Living Translation. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. And the Complete Jewish Bible in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. So I know I've experienced some things, You know, I remember years ago, I'm going back now 35, close to 40 years, and I remember the Lord spoke to me by His Spirit. In a time of prayer, He told me where I was missing it in the area of my giving. And I was giving at that time. I had made a choice to give a certain amount, 30%. I decided, I purposed in my heart. I wanted to go and give that from my heart. And I could. And so in the natural, I was bringing my tithe into the storehouse. This was actually before I was working in the ministry here. And I made that choice. And so I was not seeing in the natural what the word promised. So I began to wonder. You know what I mean like that? I didn't say the word didn't work. I didn't confess that. But I'm saying, why am I not, in my thought life, why am I not seeing this? I'm expecting it. Why am I not seeing this? And the Holy Spirit spoke these words to me. He said, in a time of prayer, I heard Him. He said, if you will work the word like you're working the word in the area of healing, in the area of finance, He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you will not have room enough to contain it all. And boy, I'm telling you, it didn't take me long. I saw instantly where I was missing it. I was bringing my tithe in, putting it in joyfully, but I was not confessing words of what I expected. So you can believe, 2 Corinthians 4, I believed His word, but I was not confessing what I expected, that I expected an abundant return on my giving. I wasn't speaking it consistently. And so I quick made that change and have been going up ever since. Increasing, increasing, increasing little by little. Because what we eat the fruit thereof is based on the words that we speak. We decree a thing and it shall be established. Well, we should be decreeing the promises of God, what God has promised. And we'll have it. We'll live in it. So words do matter. And, we'll continue. And, just to end here, this is Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2. This is the Bible in basic English. Proverbs 6:2, the BBE. It says, you are taken as in a net, how? By the words of your mouth. The sayings of your lips have overcome you. See, so words matter. And a lot of times, we're unconsciously, I just say that, we're not conscious of the things we're saying. And we might be speaking some things that are maybe disrupting the flow of God's blessings. So praise God. Just some thoughts to stir our heart and to examine ourselves and see, are we saying the right things? Are we meditating on the right things? And speaking the right things? Because it'll determine what you have. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You that it is life to us. We thank You that it is the power of God unto salvation. And we thank You, Father, for the words that have been planted in our hearts. We thank You that the word that we've heard tonight is watering that which has been planted. And it will bring forth an abundant harvest in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, before we receive our offering, we just always extend the opportunity for those that may come and watch this, maybe have been watching, or at some future date will watch, and we always extend the opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. And of course, in that, you know, the scripture is very clear that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and do what? Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so it's important that we understand here's the same principle. What we believe in our heart must be spoken with our mouth and affirmed with our mouth. And what? That activates the power of God to cause our spirits to be made brand new and changed. And so if you're in that position where maybe you believed God or believed that he's the Savior of the world, or you believe that Jesus came here, and maybe you believe that he took the sins of this earth, those that came before us and those that are here, he took the sin of the world, mankind. He took the sin. How God did what? He loved this world, and he sent Jesus to die in our stead. And so when we believe that, and we believe that he took our sins, and his resurrection from the dead is our resurrection. This is what Colossians says, that his resurrection was my resurrection. So when I believe that he was raised from the dead, I'm saying, so was I. I was raised from the dead. My sins have been forgiven. I have a brand new life in Christ. And he is now my Lord. He has come into my life and changed me. And if you believe that and confess that, you'll be saved instantly. And so let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe he took my sin and the sins of this world. And we thank you that he took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead. And so now I accept him as my Lord and my Savior, and I confess that I am saved. I've been washed and cleansed with the blood of Jesus, and I decree that the power of God has been released and activated in my body, and I've received eternal life in Jesus' name. If you said that simple prayer and you believe that, then just let us know. You can either email us to that information, rlcc@redeeminglovecc.org, or you can mail us or phone, give us a call at 845-623-9300. Just tell them that you got saved, born again, and we'll send you some information as to just what happened in the name of Jesus. Amen.